Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Beis. We are holding on daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are all the way back at Tani Chada, about 12 lines before the end of the page. And today's shiur is sponsored first by the Bornstein family, Lizuchus Refuah Shleima for Yitzchak Mendel Ben Sarah Bela, who's currently in the ICU trying to recover from COVID-19. We wish him a Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chola Yisrael. And it is also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. So we are holding again on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis. The Gemara is first going to discuss a Zav going out with his protection around his Aver, and we're going to have a stira between two brises and three ways to resolve that stira between the two brises. Then the Gemara is going to talk about walking out on Erev Shabbos Samach L'Chashecha while wearing tefillin. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the Isser to be Mapil Kelev, to remove lice from one's Kelim, is only by Or Haner, or is that even just generally one is not allowed to be Mapil Kelev on Shabbos? And then the Gemara is going to discuss how to remove Kinim on Shabbos. If one has lice on his Begadim, are you allowed to kill them on Shabbos? Can you weaken them so that they don't come back and keep on bothering you on Shabbos? The Gemara is also going to discuss Bikur Cholim on Shabbos. Is there any adjustment in how we do Bikur Cholim on Shabbos and the very notion that the Shechina is together with the Cholim? The Gemara is going to give possible exceptions and just how far the Isser goes of reading La'or HaNer, the Gzeira of Shemayata, and when it's going to be mutter to read La'or HaNer. And then we're going to discuss whether a waiter can use a ner to check the cleanliness of his kelim that he's using to serve the people with. So let us begin again back on daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis Tani Chada. So Tani Chada lo yetzei azav b'kisa. We have one brisa that says that azav is not allowed to go out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabban Shabbos with his kis. The kis is the bag or that is fitted over his aver in order to catch whatever ziva comes out of his body. Ziva is some sort of disease. It's some sort of illness that he has, some sort of emission that comes out of his body. We don't have it anymore. We don't know exactly what ziva is, but this used to happen, and it carries with it a certain level of tumma. So he's not allowed to go with his kis, according to one brisa, v'imyatza pater. But if he does, it's pater of a lasser. It's only asim midrabanan. V'tanya idach, the other brisa says lo yetze v'imyatza chayev chatas, that he's not allowed to go out with it, and if he does go out with it, he's chayev chatas, that it's doraisa. Amar of Yosef lo kasha. So it's a stira between the two brisas. What do we do with it? Says Rav Yosef, answer number one, Har Rabbi Meir, Har Rabbi Yehuda, not a stira, a machlokas. That the brisa that says that your pater assumes like Rabbi Meir, who says that even if it's normal for that person to go out with this item, but most people wouldn't go out with that item, that's called Ein Derech Hotza'a Bekach, and therefore your pater. Whereas the brisa that says that your chayiv assumes like Rabbi Yehuda, that as long as for that person it's normal to go out with it, like the tailor with the pin in his lapel, we discussed yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda says that's normal for a tailor to go out with a pin in his lapel, so Mela becomes Derech Chotza Bekach, because it's the Derech for such a person to go out in such a way. So that you're going, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be Chayiv. So the Gemara rejects this answer. When does Rabbi Meir say you're Pater? That's only something that's abnormal, like all the things that we mentioned in the Brisa about that the Derech Chotza is only to carry it, and even the Uman is normally doesn't carry it in some other way unless he wants to let the world know what he does for a living. So when he's trying to advertise his business, the tailor will stick the pin in his lapel. But when it's the normal way to go out like this, meaning everyone who is a Zav goes out with the kiss on his Aver, so Mishamele, does Rav Meir say your putter even in that? I mean, that's the only way the kiss is ever carried out. The needles are carried out by people all the time in all different ways, and it's just that when someone wants to advertise his business, he'll stick it in his lapel. But the only way anyone ever carries the kiss that a Zav wears is by having it over their Aver. So how can you say that according to our mayor, that's going to be considered Lav Urche? Dilote Mahachi, if you're not going to say that Rabbi Meir is Moda, that when it's when that's the only way to carry it out, that you're going to be Chayiv, and you're going to try to suggest that Rabbi Meir will patter because most other people aren't doing this, even though this person is Darko Bekach, Elamayat, if that were the case, Hedyot Shechokak Kav Bibaka'as. Let's say you have a person who's not a carpenter, but he hollows out from a block of wood an area the size of a Kav. B'Shabbos on Shabbos, the Rabbi Meir, Hachinami Dol Mechayiv, you're going to say, according to Rabbi Meir, he's not Chayiv, because when a carpenter were to do that, he would hollow out a 3-kav base kibble in the piece of wood. So you see that he's not doing it the way carpenters would do it. So right away, you're going to say he's not going to be chayv. That's not called tikkun mana. That's ridiculous. You can't say it's a malacha gemura. So it has to be that even when a hedyot does it, he's going to be chayv because the derech hakika is in that way for people who aren't bekiyim bedavar, for people who aren't experts, who aren't carpenters. So the same is true for a zav. Since this is the way that a zav carries his kiss, so you're going to be chayiv, even though other people who are not zavim would not carry their kiss in that way. So since we reject answer number one, the Gemara has to try a second answer. Again, a stira between two brisas. One brisa that says that a zav wearing the kiss outside on Shabbos is pater avalaser, and the other that says chayiv chatas. So elo amar Rav Hamnuna lo kasha, answer number two. Kan bezav bal shtei rios, kan bezav bal shalosh rios. How important is it for this guy to have the kiss on his Eiver? A Zav who sees Ziva 3 times, we learned at the end of Maseches Nida that a Zav is Metame Beri'os Kebiyamim, that even if it's all 3 times on one day, it's not like a Zava, a female, there are a lot of differences between a Zav and a Zava. One of them is that a Zava, it's just blood, and a Zav, it's something else. But another difference is that a Zava only becomes a Zava Gedolus Chayv Karban if she bleeds on 3 consecutive days. But a Zav, even 3 times in one day, he's already going to be chayiv a karban. So the halacha is that if the Zav had re'ios twice, he's not yet chayiv a karban. But 3 times, then he's going to be chayiv a karban. So that's the difference between the two braisas. The braisa that says that you are pater is talking about a Zav that's a bal shalosh re'ios, because he no longer needs the kiss. He already knows what his status is. He's already chayiv a karban. The braisa that says that you're chayiv is talking about a Zav bal shtei re'ios, who very much is in need of that kiss in order to be able to catch any ziva, so that he will be able to know whether he's chayiv a karban. So maishna zav bal shtei re'ios to chayiv dimi bayile lebedika zav bal shalosh namim bayile lesfira. So frankly, more, wait a second. Even if the guy already knows he's chayiv a karban, it's still very important for him to know whether ziva is coming out of his body, because once he becomes a zav, he needs what's called shiva nekiyim, just like a woman has shiva nekiyim nowadays, that she does bedikos and she checks. So a zav has to be cognizant and be aware and make sure that nothing's coming out of his body over the course of 7 days. So he needs the kiss for the purpose of shiva nekiyim. So says Gemara, not necessarily. Lo nitzrucha el lebobayom. He doesn't yet need the kiss on the very day that he saw his third re'iyah. On the day that he saw his third re'iyah, anyway, he cannot start the shiva nekiyim, because that day was not naki. He had re'iyos on that day. So that's what we're talking about. If that day happens to be Shabbos and he goes out with the kiss on his Eiver on that day, since he has no need for the kiss, that's why he's going to be potter, because he has no need for the kiss whatsoever. So frekta gemara vami bayilei kadeshli nefukelev. What do you mean he has no need for the kiss? He needs to protect his clothing. He's wearing regular clothing, so if he doesn't wear this kiss, it's going to the flow that comes out of his body is going to ruin all of his clothing. So Rabbi Zeira Haitanahu. No, the Braisos are assuming like the following Tana. The Amar, whenever your whole purpose is only to protect something else, to protect from getting something messed up, that's not considered a davar chashuv to people, and therefore a person whose only purpose in wearing the kiss is to protect the cleanliness of his clothing from the ziva that's coming out of his body, he's not really machshiv that as derech hotza'a, and therefore he's going to be pater. How do I know this? To Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Meseches Machshirin. Hakofa ka'ara. Now, in order for something to be huch the Kabbal Tumah, it needs to come in contact with one of these 7 liquids, Yad Shachadam, and the mnemonic for the 7 liquids. And in order for the Hakshal the Kabbal Tumah to happen, it has to also be Nichale. You have to have been interested in the contact with that liquid. So says the Mishnah Maseches Makshirin, Hakofa Ka'ara, if a person overturns a plate, Ala Kosel, on a wall that it's raining on, in Bishvil She Tudach HaKa'ara, if the reason you put the plate on that wall is to rinse it off with the rain, rainwater, hareze b'chiyutan, then that's considered that you're interested in that water, and therefore that water is able to be machshir things to be mekabel tuma. It's able to be machshir food to be mekabel tuma, because you dafka wanted that water by utilizing, and you indicated that by utilizing that water in order to clean off your plate. But v'im b'shvil shelo yilka kosel. But if your entire purpose in turning that plate over on the wall was just to protect the wall, sayinu b'chiyutan, then you're not really interested in the rainwater, and therefore it's not that rainwater, if it subsequently touches food, is not going to be machshir that food to be mekabel tuma. What we see from here is that when you only want something to protect from something getting messed up, that's not called l'ratzon. You only wanted that plate on the wall to protect the wall and from the rain that's coming down. We don't consider that l'ratzon. So the same should be true when it comes to being motzi a kiss in order to save your clothing from the ziva, that it doesn't have chashivas, and mele, it's not called derech hotza'a, and you're going to be potter. So it says, Mara, wait a second, me dummy, you can really compare those two cases. Hasam lo kabayilu lani mashkin klal. By turning the plate over on the wall in order to save the wall, you're not interested in that water at all. You would have preferred if it doesn't rain at all. And even if you're going to say that turning the plate over is considered to be an act that's chashuv to you to save the kosel, and when you want to save something from getting messed up, that's considered something chashuv to you, but in order for the water to be able to be makshir l'kabel tumah, you need that there's chashivas in the water. I mean, it could be that, yes, the plate is chashuv to you. Why? Because the plate is serving a very wonderful function for you. It's protecting your wall. But does that mean the water is chashuv to you? You don't want the water at all. But hach, over here, we're not talking about whether you want the ziva. Okay, you don't want the ziva. No one wants ziva. But what are we talking about? What's chashuv? We're talking about whether the kiss is chashuv to you. Whether that which you're using to protect from the ziva is chashuv to you. Kabaylu lai kiss the kabuli be ziva. And you certainly do want the kiss to protect from ziva. So a fundamental difference between the two cases. When it comes to the water, the plate is going to be chashuv to you when you're using it to protect the wall from the water, but the water is not chashuv to you. So over here also, the kiss is going to be chashuv to you, even though of course the ziva is not chashuv to you. So says the Gemara, let's now wrap up the kasha. Halodamya ela l'seifa. If you really want to compare the case of the kiss that the Zav is wearing to anything, compare it to the Seifa. Areva shenasana sheyere delef letocha. Let's say you take a bowl and you put it under a leak to catch whatever's coming out of that leak, or you put it by the gutter to catch whatever water is coming out. Mayim ani tozin, any water that splatters beyond the kli that you use to catch it. Vani tzafin, any water that overflows from the kli, einan b'chiyutan. Such water is not considered, it's not going to have the capacity to be machshir l'kabel tuma, because you don't want that water. V'shebetocha, but the water in the kli, hareze b'chiyutan. That is hukshir l'kabel tuma. See, even though you put the ka'ara there in order to save from messing something up, from the megashamim messing something up, but if you didn't overturn the kli, you put it with the base kibul facing up, even though you're not really interested in the water, still by turning it face up, by putting the base kibul up, you're showing that it's chashuv to you, and therefore it's b'chiyutan. So over here also, the guy doesn't want the ziva. He wants the, but since he wants the kiss to be mekabel the ziva, so that's a chashuva thing, and that's considered derech hotza'a, and therefore he should be chayiv. So now we're stuck. We still don't have a yishuv to the stira between the two braises, because again, we had said that there's one braisa that says that the zav is chayiv for walking out with the kiss. The other braisa said that he's pater. So we wanted to say, oh, it all depends on whether it's a zav bal shtei rios or bal shalosh rios. So the Gemara is saying, well, either way it should be chashuv to him, because either way it's protecting his clothing. And when you have something to protect your clothing, that is chashuv. So you should have been chayiv in either case. So says Gemara, the third and final answer. Ela Abaye v'Rava Dami Travayu. Abaye and Rava were on the same page about this. Lo kasha HaRabbi Yehuda, HaRabbi Shimon. That this is really the old machlokas about Malacha Shein Sricha Lagufa. That if you assume, like Rabbi Yehuda, that even Melach Shein Sricha Lagufa, that you don't want it to happen, you don't need the Ikr Malacha, like over here, you'd rather not have Ziva at all, and you only have this kiss to protect you. But Rabbi Yehuda says, you're Chayiv anyway, you're Chayiv in Melach Shein Sricha Lagufa, and the Brisa says that you're Pater, assumes like Rabbi Shimon, that Melach Shein Sricha Lagufa, you're Pater. This is assuming that Melach Shein, the definition of Melach Shein Sricha Lagufa, is, which by the way is sugya later on in Daf Tzadi Gimel, by being Motzi as Hameis Bemita, we'll get to that Bez Hashem eventually, but it's assuming that the definition is that the entire situation is a situation you'd rather not have. So you'd rather not have a situation of Ziva. It's just Elamai. Now that you have the situation of Ziva, you need to take care of it. So that fits the definition of Melach Shein Sricha Lagufa, and Rabbi Yehuda would say you're Chayiv, and Rabbi Shimon would say you're Pater. Good, that concludes the most challenging part of today's Daf. So now the Gemara discusses further. Tanit debei Rabbi Shmuel, yotzi adam betfilin berav Shabbos umchashecha. A person could walk out on Shabbos right before Shabbos with his tefillin on. My time, even though Rabbi Rav Huna chayv al nashish betfilin kol shav v'shah v'kal v'chomer mitzitz. That since we say that there's a requirement to always be touching your tefillin, to feeling, to make sure that your tefillin are there, and to be mindful of your tefillin. And how do I know that it's a kal v'chomer from the tzitz, that mat tzitz, just like the tzitz that was placed on the forehead of the kohen gadol. She'en bo elas kara achas, which only has one Shem Hashem on it. It says Kodesh LaHashem. Still, Amrata Ravaya al Mitzchot Tamid. The pasuk says that it should be al Mitzchot Tamid. What does it mean, Tamid? Shelo yasiach daito mimenu. It means that a person, the Kohen Gadol, is never supposed to have a hesach hadas from it. He should be mindful of the tzitz at all times. So tefillin, sheyesh ben askaras harbe. How many times do Shemos Hashem appear in tefillin? There are so many Shemos Hashem. So alachas kama v'kama. So it's a kal v'chomer that one needs to be mindful of his tefillin all the time. Ah, so once you're mindful of the tefillin, hilkach midkar dakir luhu. We're not concerned, even if you're wearing tefillin right before Shabbos, that you're going to forget about it and leave them on when Shabbos starts. For some reason, I'm getting a message, even though it worked the past 2 days, that the session is going to end in 10 minutes. I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. But so if it does end, just log on again. I remind you, just log on again. Okay, so anyway, so Mitka Dakir Lahu. So you're going to remember it, and you're not going to, because you're always touching it, you're always mindful of your tefillin, so of course you're going to remember. So Tanya Chananya Omer Chayv al Mashu Bibigdar of Shabbos im Chashecha, and Chananya says a person should check his clothing Erev Shabbos Samach Chashecha to make sure that there's nothing in his pocket, there's nothing on his clothing. Amar Rav Yosef Hilch Sarabis L'Shabbos. That's a very great halacha to help one refrain from violating Shabbos. Now this is a fascinating kal v'chomer, meaning you think of the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, right? Of all the big day kahuna, you would imagine the tzitz is the holiest of all the big day kahuna, and every little bar mitzvah bachur gets a pair of tefillin. Every 13-year-old gets something that's holier than the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. It's kal v'chomer that the tefillin is holier than the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. So Tosus points out in Maseches Yuma that there seems to be a pircha on this kal v'chomer, that yes, it's true that tzitz only has one Shem Hashem, but it's there for everybody to see. It's begalui. The tefillin's Shemos Hashem are mostly inside the parashios, and you can't answer, says Tosfos, that yeah, but between the shin on the shalrosh and the dalid in the back of the shalrosh and the yud and the ritzuos of the shalyad, you have a Shem Hashem as well. That is true. But since that's not a ksav gomor, and only the shin that's on the batim is really Allah l'moshe misinai, the dalin and the yud are not Allah l'moshe misinai, and the tzitz doesn't just have the shem shakai, it has the shem amiyuchad on it, which is more chamur, it's more serious shem Hashem, so it doesn't seem to work as a kal v'chomer. So Tosa says, you're right, it's not a real kal v'chomer min haTorah, but it's a kal v'chomer min drabanan, that even though there's a particular chumrah of a tzitz more so than tefillin, but since tefillin has a tzad chashivus that's more than the tzitz, in that it has a greater quantity of haskaros, so it makes sense that the chacham would also be mesakein to constantly feel and constantly be aware of the presence of one's tefillin. Furthermore, the Yerayim points out that to suggest that the kedusha of the tefillin is greater than the kedusha of the tzitz is difficult, because the kohen gadol is not allowed to raise his hands by Birchas Kohanim above the tzitz. other Kohanim are allowed to raise their hands above their heads. This is a Gemara Maseches Sota Daf Lamed Ches. Even though they're wearing tefillin, they're allowed to raise their hands above their tefillin. So it sounds like the Kedusha of the Tzitz is greater than the Kedusha of the tefillin, not like our Gemara says. So again, you have to say that the Kedusha of the Tzitz is actually greater than the Kedusha of the tefillin, but on some tzad, that there's some way that the Kedusha of the tefillin has something over the Tzitz. Says the Gemara further now, lo yifala es kelev. A person is not allowed to remove lice from his begadim. So yibayilu, lo yifala es kelev biyom shemi yarog v'rabi Eliezer hi. Are we saying that you're not allowed to be mefala the kelev, to remove the lice from your kelev during the day because we're afraid that you might kill them? V'rabi Eliezer, and we're assuming like Rabbi Eliezer, meaning even if you're not using an araner, you're just, it's a broad daylight. You're just not allowed to take the lice off because you might kill them. D'tanya, amar Rabbi Eliezer, hori kina b'shabes kilu hori gamal. Rabbi Eliezer says if you kill a bug on Shabbos, that's the same as killing a camel. You might think, it's not really a life. It's not really a nefesh. It's just a tiny little bug. No, if it's it has life force to it, it doesn't matter if it's a huge animal or if it's a tiny little bug. And then there's a separate halacha that you're not allowed to read by candlelight, shemayate, because you might come to tilt the candle and be mechabe the candle. That's one possibility of how to understand this halacha. Odilma travayu shemayate. Or maybe even the din that you're not allowed to be mefala eskelev is also on account of shemayate, that you might come to tilt the candle. So Gemara brings a couple of rayas. Tashema, raya number one. Ein polin vein korin la'araner. It says ein polin and ein korin, and both seem to be la'araner. Says Gemara, san raya mi'alima mi'masnisin. And our Mishnah also says la'araner at the end of the Mishnah, but it could be that ein polin has nothing to do with araner. It could be that it's not ein polin vein korin la'araner, it's ein polin, kama ve'ein karin la'araner. Why is it ein polin? Because you're going to kill the lice. Why is it ein karin? That's la'araner, because you might come to tilt the candle. So Tashma will bring another raya. Ein polin la'ar haner. Ve'ein korin la'ar haner. Okay, so that's pretty explicit. It says right straight out that why can't you remove the lice from your kelim? La'ar haner, because you're not allowed to use it la'ar haner, because you might tilt the candle. So elu min halacha shomru v'aliyas Hanani ben Chizkiya ben Garon, when the Chum went to visit him, which is a maisa that we'll have in tomorrow's daf, this is one of the halachas that they learned. Shmamina d'travayhu shemayata shmamina. So we see that both of these yisurim are only la'ar haner. It must be that they're both asr on a count of shemayata. I'm Rabbi Domer Shmuel. Afilu lahavchin bin bigdo lebigde yishto. Even, you're not even allowed to use a candle to be able to go through your closet. The assumption is the husband and wife share a closet, so they have to figure out which he has to figure out which kelim are his and which clothing are his and which clothing are his wife. So he needs a candle, and we're afraid he's going to need a lot of light in order to be able to distinguish between his own clothing and his wife's clothing. So amarav lo amaran ela debnei mechoza. But that is only for the people in mechoza who don't work for a living, so they would wear very effeminate clothing that was not practical to do a lot of work with. The women used to wear these poofy clothing because you didn't have to do anything, they just had to look pretty. But a man who was working all the time needed more practical clothing. But the B'nai Mechuzah never worked anyway, so they would also wear these poofy clothing. So it was more difficult to tell the difference between their own clothing and their wives' clothing. Of the B'nai Chakalyasa made a yadi, but the people of the villages who were always working in the field, they didn't need a candle really. Meaning they you don't have to worry, they didn't need so much light. If they're using a candle, you don't have to worry that they're going to tilt the candle to tell the difference. They'll be able to tell the difference anyway. And even by B'nai Mechuzah, there's a difference between different women's clothing. It's only the Zekenos who have somewhat narrower clothing. They're not as poofy, they're not as wide. Aval Dialdos, but younger women made the Yadi'i. The men's clothing wasn't nearly as wide as younger women's clothing, and it was much easier to distinguish between them. So you have, even nowadays, right, there are suits for women, there are pantsuits that women wear, so probably our wives don't wear those, but you could imagine in the dark. It looks like a suit hanging on a hanger in the dark, and that's why you might need a candle. But if it's a dress, hopefully you'll be able to tell that that is not your clothing. If it's a gown or something. So Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us as follows: Ein polin berushos harabim. You're not allowed to take off kinim from your begadim. You're not allowed to take off lice from your begadim and roshos harabim ne'akavod. You just don't do these things in public because it's disgusting. So it's just just unseemly to do such a thing in public. You also shouldn't take something that brings you to vomit in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, because that's also not a proper Kavod HaBrios, that we have to be concerned for Kavod HaBrios. When you remove the louse from your clothing, you should rub it between your fingers and then throw the louse away. You're not going to kill it, but don't kill it, but you rub it between your fingers to weaken it so that it's not going to come back. The Rashi points out, even though it's the Isser is it's an Isser Drabanan, but they were not because killing it would only be Asr Midrabanan, they didn't make a Gzera L'Gzera that you're not allowed to be Molel lest you come to kill it, that you're not allowed to squeeze it a little bit lest you come to kill it. Abishol Omer, Notel V'Zorik V'Vachelo Yimlol. No, you're not allowed to squeeze it between your fingers, because we do have to be concerned you might kill it. Why? Because killing is an issa daraisa. So it sounds like they're only arguing about whether you could rub it between your fingers, but they're really arguing fundamentally, is killing a louse an issa daraisa or an issa drabanan on Shabbos? And then the ramification of that is, can you be molel it? Amrav huna halacha, molel v'zorek v'zeu kvodo v'afilu b'chol. You can be molel v'zorek, and that's the kavod to do it that way, and even on a weekday you could do that way. Rabba Mekatalu, or you should do that way. Rabba Mekataluhu, Rabba used to, we have 1 minute left before we are thrown off the Zoom. Rabba Mekataluhu, Rabba would kill them on Shabbos. Rav Sheshes Mekataluhu, and Rav Sheshes would kill them on Shabbos. Rabba Shadilu Lekana Demaya, Rabba would throw them into a pool of water. Amarle Rav Nachman Labinte, and Rav Nachman would say to his daughter, Kitolim Rashmin Lekala de Sanvasi, kill it, and I want to hear the sound of my enemies, meaning the sound of the lice as they're being killed. Tanya Rav Shimon Elozer Omer, Ein Organus Amacholus B'Shabbos Yiv B'Shamei, B'Shil Matirin. B'Shamei says, you're not allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos. B'Shil says, yes, you are. You're allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos. V'chein Rav Shimon Elozer Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ein Mishadchina Setinokos La'ares. You're not allowed to speak in Shiduchim for young women to be Ma'ares them. V'lo Asatinok L'Lamdo Sefer, nor can you have conversations about being Malamed your child on Shabbos, or Lamdo Umnos, or to teach him a profession. Vein Menachem Ma'velim, Vein Mevakrun Cholin. Okay. Okay, sorry about that. We should be good from here. Oh, whoops. All right, sorry about that. We should be good from here on in. So we said that ein mevakrin eschol vein on Shabbos either. Divrei Beishamai. But all of that, all of those restrictions, that's Beishamai. Beisil matir. Beisil says you're allowed to do all of these things because even though the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, im tashuv mi Shabbos raglecha, mi mitzol chavtzucha v'daber davar, that you're not allowed to do your own chafetzim, your own business on Shabbos, but these are not your own chafetzim. These are all chavtzei shamayim. These are all things that there is a great mitzvah to do. Even to go teach your child an umnus, to teach your child a profession, is a mitzvah to do, because kol sheinu melamed espino umnus is melamdo listus. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, the Gemara in Kiddushin derives from a pasuk that it's a mitzvah to teach one's child an umnus, and therefore that is mutter. Says Gemara Vayter now, bikur cholim on Shabbos, tanu rabbanan, hanichmos mevakar esachola. If a person goes to be mevakar esachola on Shabbos, so he has to make sure that he says something comforting that the person shouldn't experience tsar on Shabbos. So Omer, Shabbos imi lezok. He should say to the chola that we shouldn't cry out over the choli on Shabbos because it's Shabbos and we're not supposed to cry out. It's Shabbos imi lezok. But then you quickly add, Urufua kravalavo. And don't worry, the refuah is going to come anyway. The Marsha explains that when you say Shabbos Yimulizok, that may upset the Chola, because he's going to say, well, wait a second, if our only chance is Tefillah, and that's what helps, and that's the only thing that really works to help us out of a predicament, so, and now you're telling me, Shabbos Yimulizok, that we're not allowed to be misspelled for my Choli, so you tell me I have no chance to get better on Shabbos. No, Urufua kravalavo. Don't worry, Shabbos itself will bring a refuah. You don't even need the Tefillah on Shabbos to bring the refuah. Shabbos itself has the ability to bring a refuah even without a tzaaka. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Yecholi hisha terachim, that you should say to the chola that Shabbos has the ability to provide the refuah and that will take away the tsar of the chola. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamakam yirachim alecha va'al chola Yisrael, that you should say to him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanos on you and on the rest of chola Yisrael. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamakam yirachim alecha b'soch chola Yisrael, that you should say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanos on you among the rest of Chole Yisrael. So Tosfos raises a very fascinating question over here. We have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, all saying that you're allowed to daven for the Chole and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shav Rachmanus and Yishrav Rufua Shalema. The problem is, it sounds like according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, such a tefillah could actually work. But in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tezayin, the Braisa tells us that both according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Yehuda, everything is nidon b'Rosh Hashanah. All decisions are made on Rosh Hashanah. The gzar din of a person is nechtam on Yom HaKippurim, and that's it. There's no changing it after that. And the Gemara over there says, why do we daven for cholim during the year? Yeah, that's assuming like Shitas Rabbi Yossi, who holds Adam nidon b'chol yom. That's the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara says that Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda hold that everything is decided Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, and that's it. And it's only Rabbi Yossi who says that that Adam Nidon Bechal Yom, who says that you're allowed to daven during the year. So asks Tosos, how could Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda over here say tfilos that you're supposed to say to a chola as if it's still an option, as if there's anything that could change? So Tosos suggests a couple of answers. First of all, he says, maybe over here we're talking about Shabbos Shuvah, that you're going to visit the chola. It's quite an okimta, that when you're going to visit the chola on Shabbos, it's only talking about Shabbos Shuvah. It's during the Aseret Yemei Shuvah, so things aren't decided yet. Or, says Tosfos, according to the second answer in the Gemara over there in Rosh Hashanah, even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold tefillah works, because Yafa Tzaka Ala Adam, Bein Kodem Gzar Din, Bein Liachar Gzar Din. So maybe that's what we're assuming, that Tzaka is going to work even after Gzar Din, that Gzar Din does not have a sense of finality to it. So yes, there's a Machlokas Tanayim, whether Adam Nidon B'chol Yom or Adam is only Nidon during the Yom Noraim, but even if you are Nidon during the Yom Noraim, doesn't mean it can't change, according to the second answer of the Gemara. The Tosfos Maseches Rosh Hashanah gives other answers. It says that which there's a gzeir b'Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim is only on the machla, but it's not on the refuah. That yes, it was decreed that this person is going to suffer from this illness, but is he going to have a refuah? Undecided. That you still get to choose later on. We still get to determine later on through our tefillos. Second, Tosa says over there that over here we're talking about being mespalel al rabim, meaning you're dafka saying besoch chole Yisrael. So as long as you include the tefillos harabim in it, so that breaks all the rules of tefillah, which is a fascinating yisod. You have such a thing by tefillah al anes. Some of the achronim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch are bothered why it is that there's a special harachaman if a person forgets al anisim, where we say hu yasalon anisim kamosh asla v'seinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do nisim for us like he did for our forefathers. Generally speaking, you're not allowed to daven for an anes. So one of the answers that they give is yasalonu nisim for klal Yisrael. For the klal Yisrael is always going to be zocha. The klal is always going to be zocha to nisim and can break all the normal rules of tefillah, even when you would think that it's too late and that the gzar din has already been sealed. Okay, so those are four approaches, two of Tosfos here and two of Tosfos Maseches Rosh Hashanah, of how to deal with this issue. Now the Braisa tells us, Shevna Ishu Yerushalayim, Shevna, who is a great person in Yerushalayim, B'knisasa Omer, when he would go in to be Mevakar Echole, he would say Shalom. Ubitziyasa Omer, Shabbos Yim Lozok, Rufua Krovalovo, V'rachim of Merubin, and then he would add that the Rachamei Shemayim are very great and should be very great for this Chole, V'shivsu B'shalom, and we should rest in peace, that we shouldn't have any sort of pain and suffering on the Yom Menucha, on the day of Shabbos itself. So, whose shita is followed by that which Rabbi Chanina says, that when you have a chola, you should always mix him in b'soch shar chola Yisrael. Whenever you daven for a chola, it should never be only for that chola. It should always be among the rest of chola Yisrael. So, command Rabbi Yossi. That assumes like the shita of Rabbi Yossi, which seems pretty obvious because Rabbi Yossi is the one that said, "Hamokim irachim alecha b'soch chola Yisrael." Remember we had said that according to the Beis Hillel, you're allowed to be Mevakar Cholim and be Menachem Avelim on Shabbos. Now, there are no practices of Avelus on Shabbos. Certainly, Befarhesia, one does not sit on a low chair, one does not take off his shoes, but there could still be Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. So, Bekoshi, they allowed Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim on Shabbos, even recognizing it was Bekoshi, because they recognized that it could be a little bit of a downer. The Mevaker might be Mitztair when he sees the condition of the Chola, or when he sees the distress of the Avel. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Ki Avazlinin Basrei D'Rabbi Eliezer, D'Rabbi Elazar, L'Shiulei B'Tficha, Zimnin Amar Hamakim Yifaked Chalishalom, Zimnin Amar Rachman Yitkarin Chalishalom. Sometimes when we went to visit a Chola during a weekday, sometimes he would say in Lashon HaKodesh, Hamakim Yifaked Chalishalom, and sometimes he would say in Lashon HaRamis, that Rachman Yitkarin Chalishalom. Same thing, just in different languages. Sayech Yavadachi, wait a second, how could he ever speak in Lashon HaRamis? Vam Ravido Lolom Al Yishalom Shachab Lashon HaRami, you're not supposed to daven in Lashon HaRami. Vam Rav Yochum Kalashol Shachab Lashon HaRami, Ein Malachi Asharis, Niskakinlo, that if you daven in Lashon Rami, the Malachi Asharis are not going to pay attention. They're not going to bring your tefillos into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shein Malachi Asharis makirin b'Lashon Rami. The Malachi Asharis are not familiar with Lashon Rami. So says Gemara, Shaini Chola de Shechina Imo. You don't need the Malachi Asharis when you're next to the Chola. The Chola has the Shechina together with him. The tefillah goes directly to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dom Ravan Nom Rav. Minayin she Shechina soed as HaChola. How do I know that the Shechina supports the Chola? Shneimar Hashem Yisadenu al Eres Devoy. Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a brisa that indicates as well that the Shechina supports the Chola and that the Shechina is present in the presence of the Chola. A person should not sit on the bed or on a chair next to the Chola. He should be misatef with his talis. That's one of the things you do, that you have an atifa out of kavod for the presence of the Shechina. The Yoshev Lefanov, and he should sit in front of him. Because the Shechina is above the head of the Chola. Shnemar Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Devay. Rava Amar Ravin, Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Zon Es HaChola, Shenemar Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Devay, that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports the Chola. So it's interesting, this idea that Malachim don't understand Lashon HaRami. Tosfos says, well, Gavriel must have understood Lashon HaRami, because the Gemara in Sota tells us that Gavriel is the one that taught Yosef all Shivim Lashon on his way down to Mitzrayim, so on his way down to visit his brothers. So since Gavriel knew all Shivim Lashon, he must have spoken Lashon Rami. And then Tosfos says the most remarkable kasha over here. Tosfos says, how could it be that Malachi Asharis don't understand Lashon Rami? Afilu machshavos shebelevish shein yodim. Malachi Asharis even know the machshavos that are in our hearts. So how could you say they don't speak Lashon Rami? Meaning, what is any language? Language is just the expression of thought. But if they get it before it's expressed, the Malachim already have it while it's in thought, before it's even put into language. So what do you mean they don't speak Lashon Rami? They already chapped it earlier. They already chapped it while it was in thought. So the Achronim point out, Meheichi Teisi, that the Malachi Asharis know our thoughts. Where does it say that? So they point out from a Gemara Maseches Baba Metzia, that when Avram, when the Malachi Asharis went to visit Avram Avinu, they knew that, they said, Ayesara Ishtecha, and Chazal point out, the Gemara points out, they knew exactly where Sarah was, but they wanted L'kidei L'chaval Baila, that Avram Avinu should pay attention to the Tznius of Sarah. How do you know they knew exactly where Sarah was? Maybe they had no idea where Sarah was. No, so says a number of the Achronim in the back of the Gemara, that you see from there that the Gemara was working with the assumption that they must have known, because they even know people's thoughts. So if they know people's thoughts, Avram was obviously thinking about Sarah, so they even know people's thoughts, so they're going to know people's whereabouts, so there's no way they were actually asking you for information. So Tosfos raises the question over here, if they even know people's thoughts, then how could it be that they don't know Lashon HaRami? So some of the Rishonim say, well, there's a difference between some malachim and other malachim. Maybe the malachim's job it is to bring our tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't know people's thoughts. And the malachim who went to visit Avram Avinu are malachim that do know people's thoughts. Others say that no, ein malachi asharis mevinu b'lashon rami doesn't mean that they don't understand Lashon Rami. Makirim b'lashon rami doesn't mean they don't understand Lashon Rami. The Rush writes this in the second paragraph of Brachos. No, they understand Lashon Rami, they just can't stand it. They just don't like Lashon Rami. Lashon Arami, because it's a shibush of Lashon HaKodesh. It is a, it's like, what are they, like French and Flemish, right? Like, I don't know, people who are, you know, who, when there are languages that there's a, that there's an offshoot of that language, so people are, I guess, are English and, you know, British English, so it drives the British people crazy that we speak English in such a disgusting way. We should speak the Queen's English. So, so the Malach HaYasharis can't stand that Lashon HaKodesh was taken and corrupted in this way, and that's what drives them nuts. So they're not interested in the, and the Ein Makirin is a Lashon of Hergel, like Klei Chamas Mecherusehem, or it's a Lashon of loving, of being beloved, Makire Kuhuna. So the Malach HaYasharis is not Makirin B'Lashon HaKodesh, meaning they do not love B'Lashon HaRami, rather, they do not love Lashon HaRami. Can we go an extra couple of minutes? I'm just, we're way behind. Anyone have like 3 more minutes? Yeah? Okay, so let's go a few more minutes. V'lo yikra la'or ener. So we said that you're not allowed to read by Or Ener on Friday night because you might come to tilt the candle. So Amar Rabba, afilu gavah shtei kavos. Even if the candle is 2 stories high, so you're not going to even reach it. V'afilu shtei mardaos. Even if it's placed the height of 2 mardaos, which are what you would lead the cattle with. V'afilu asara batim zuel gavzu. Even if there are 10 houses, one on top of the other, you can't use the light of the 10th house all the way on top. That's how far the gzera goes. So it says, yeah, but there are also exceptions to the gzera. Chadu delo likri, hatrei shapredami. One person can't lead by the Araner, but 2 people can, because the one will remind the other if they come to tilt it. Vatanya lo echad velo shnayim. But then we have a brisa that says, neither 1 nor 2 people can read by the Araner. So Amar Rav Elazar lo kasha. Kan binyan echad, kan bishnayin yanim. That the difference is, our Mishnah that says that 2 people together can read from the Araner is talking about where they're reading the same topic. So they're paying attention to what the other one is doing. But the one that said that even 2 people cannot is when they're reading 2 different books, so each one is engrossed in their book and they're not paying attention to what the other one is doing, so they're not going to remind the other person. Amar Rav Huna b'Madura, if it's a giant torch, you're by a fireplace or something, I feel asar b'nei adam asar. Then even 10 people, it's going to be asar, because they could sit very far apart from each other. They can observe the 6 feet distance and still all enjoy the same fire. So even that's, so then they're not going to be able to connect with each other. Amar Rava, im adam chashuv hu mutar. But if the person is an adam chashuv never tilts his candle. So if he's an adam chashuv, then it's mutar. So meisve lo yikra laraner shamayata. A person should not read by the araner, lest he come to tilt the candle. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, aniyak rav la'ate. He says, not going to happen to me. I'll read by the araner. I'm not going to tilt the candle. Pamachas kara ubikesh lahatos. So he was reading, and he found himself wanting to tilt the candle. Amar kama gadol and devrecham. He said, you know, I question the gzeira of Chazal. Is this gzeira really necessary? They knew what they were talking about. Sheyomrim lo yikra la araner. They said, don't be kari la araner. Rabbi Nosson Omer, we just had like this past week, we were asking Rav Schechter about making minyanim on front lawns and things like that, and he said, don't do it. Just don't make exceptions. Don't make make a low. And those who had minyanim for bar mitzvahs or whatever, and they said, minyan mitzumtzum, it's just going to be 10 people and it's going to be at a distance. There were hundreds of people there because everyone who said kaddish said, what? They're going to have a minyan for bar mitzvah. I'm not going to say kaddish. You know, so it's just, you know, sometimes when great chacham say something, they know what they're talking about. So certainly with Chazal, they make a gezeira, they know what they're talking about. So shayu amrim lo yikra la'araner. Chazal said not to be kari la'araner, and no one is above that gezeira. Rabbi Nosson Omer, kara vihita, that is worse than that. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha actually tilted the candle. V'kasval pin kaso ani Yishmal ben Elisha karisi v'itesi ner b'Shabbos, and he wrote in his notebook, I did this malacha b'shogig on Shabbos, l'kshiyibana beis hamigdash avichata shmena. And when the beis hamigdash is rebuilt, I'm going to have to bring a big fat korban chatas. The miyuchas l'ran says he dafka said shmena as a play on words because of the shemen in the ner, because lav dafka that you have to bring a shmena. It was just a reminder. And last thing, Amar Rabbi Abba Shiner. Rabbi Shmuel, so point is though that even though he was an Adam Chashuv, apparently it was usher for him to do. So how can we say there's an exception for an Adam Chashuv? So says Gemara, Am Rabbi Abba, Shiny Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Holu Meisim Matzmal Divrei Torah Ke'adiot. In order to learn Torah, he would suffer any indignity in the world in order to learn Torah. So he treated himself with the dignity of a Hedyot and not with the dignity of an Adam Chashuv when it came to Torah. And therefore, even though this Gezerah does not apply to an Adam Chashuv, it does apply to the likes of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha when it comes to learning Torah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the second wide line. I'll see everyone here tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Take care, have a great day, and stay safe, everybody. Oh, nice emoji, Kenny.